Decision 2018-33, Overbrook Meadows West, Overbrook Acres LLC.
This is an ESDDOZ cluster subdivision to divide 43.5 acres plus or minus into 82 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the northeast side of Coastal Highway Route 1, opposite of Cave Neck Road. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 23, a portion of Parcel 1. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would submit for the record a site plan, an exhibit booklet, plus comments, the technical advisory comments that include comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the Sussex County Engineering Department, the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, different divisions of DENREC, including groundwater discharge and SERS, and the Delaware Electric Co-op. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, and the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, and I am an attorney here in Delaware, and I'm representing the applicant Overbrook Real Estate Partners, LLC. With me, right back here, are Lou DiBitanto on behalf of the applicant, Steve Gorski from Duffield Associates, and just behind me in the second row back there, Joe Caligero of the Traffic Group. As Janelle stated, an exhibit book was submitted containing the Environmental Assessment and Public Facilities Evaluation Report, the Section 99.9C report, and the PLUS response. As was stated, this is an application for an AR1 zone cluster subdivision to be located in the environmentally sensitive development area as designated on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The subdivision will be comprised of 82 single-family lots and recreational amenities on a parcel of land containing 37.65 acres. And the 37 acres are part of the front portion of a 114-acre parcel that fronts on the northeast side of Route 1, about across from the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection, and approximately 1.5 miles north of the Route 1 Nassau Bridge. Because there are several newer members of the commission, I would like to explain a little bit of the history of this property. This entire 114-acre parcel was subject to a prior rezoning application seeking CR1 zoning for a large-scale commercial use of being an 850,000-square-foot regional shopping center. That application was filed in December of 2014. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a hearing in April of 2015, and the only member of the commission who was involved in that hearing is Chairman Wheatley. The application was, I would say, very controversial, to say the least, and that commission hearing actually took about 5 hours that evening. In summary, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the change of zone by a 3-2 vote. About 10 months later, the County Council voted to deny the application. The applicant filed an appeal to the Court of Chancery, alleging that the council's decision was not in accordance with legal requirements. The court agreed and ordered a new council hearing, and after the new hearing, the council voted to deny that rezoning application by a 3-2 vote. That entire process took about 3.5 years to complete. The applicant accepted the council's denial, and as a result, the applicant reconsidered its options for this property and determined to develop the property as two separate residential cluster subdivisions as permitted under the property's existing AR1 zoning. The first phase of that development was Overbrook Meadows subdivision. Janelle, can you... that was an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision located in the environmentally sensitive development area, and it proposed 135 single-family lots on the rear of this 114-acre parcel, and that subdivision actually contained 64.2 acres of the property. That application was designated as subdivision 2018-10. It was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 9th, 2018, and on September 13th, 2018, The commission unanimously approved that application, subject to 17 conditions. A copy of that decision and the minutes of the commission meeting on subdivision 2018-10 was submitted as part of the record, and it is in the file. Tonight's application is the second subdivision, which proposes 82 single-family lots on the 37.65 acres, which is a portion of the front of the property. Janelle, if we could switch back to the tonight's. Tonight's application does not involve the road frontage portion of the property to a depth of about 400 feet, and that area will be used for additional right-of-way on Route 1 for dedication of lands for the Route 1 Cave Neck Road grade-separated interchange for stormwater management areas, and also a possible future development parcel, which nothing has been submitted or proposed on that parcel yet. The entire 114-acre parcel is owned by Fred Chappelle, or Chappell. His family has owned it for approximately 70 years, and it's under contract to the applicant. The 114-acre parcel borders the northbound side of Route 1, has approximately 1,800 feet of road frontage, and as I said, is across Route 1 from the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection. The nature of the area is a mixture of uses. There are some large parcels of farmland. There's numerous businesses along Route 1 on parcels that are zoned C1 and B1, and there's several residential developments in the area, including Fox Run Subdivision, the Painters Mill MRRPC, and the 135 single-family lot subdivision that was approved for the rear of this property. The 37 acres are zoned AR1. No change of zone is being proposed. One of the stated purposes of the AR1 zoning district is low-density single-family development, and single-family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use in the AR1 district. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive development area. As you know, that is one of the growth areas designated in the 2008 Comprehensive Plan. The zoning ordinance provides that clustering of single-family detached lots to a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet is permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, and that for subdivisions served by central water and sewer, the maximum density shall be the allowable density under the underlying zoning district. The 37.65 acre parcel is zoned AR1. That permits 2.178 lots per acre, which is 82 lots, which is what's being requested. The development will be served by central public water for domestic use and fire protection. That will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., who has a certificate of public convenience and necessity to serve the site. They have issued an ability to serve letter to the applicant. There is an existing 12-inch water main located in the east shoulder of Route 1, which will be the connection point for water. The development will be served by central sewer by Artesian Wastewater Management. They have an existing wastewater service facility in the area. Artesian has indicated it is willing and able to provide wastewater service, and that existing wastewater transmission treatment and disposal facilities are available and have capacity to serve the development. Electricity will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op, which has adequate facilities and capacity to serve the site. As to DelDOT, and I do want to mention that Mr. Cote from DelDOT is here tonight, as well as Mr. Caligero from the traffic group, who is the applicant's traffic engineer. So I'm going to explain what I understand to be the status as to DelDOT, and they can then explain that in more detail or correct me if I'm incorrect if you have any questions. As part of the prior commercial rezoning request that I mentioned, there were extensive discussions that took place between the applicant and DelDOT. As part of that application, a traffic impact study was required that was prepared by the traffic group, and that studied 12 different intersections in the area. The most important point as far as DelDOT was concerned about that application was that since this 114-acre parcel is adjacent to Route 1, It is subject to DLDOT's Corridor Capacity Preservation Program. The primary goal of that program is to maintain road capacity by minimizing the number of direct high-volume driveway access points on Route 1. At the present time, DLDOT would limit access to this site to uses that would generate 200 vehicle trips per day or less, and that is not a lot of vehicle trips. However, DLDOT indicated that with necessary roadway improvements, vehicle trips could be increased. For this particular location, the required roadway improvements would be construction of a grade separated interchange at the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection. Now, I know you're all familiar with the DLDOT's Route 1 grade separated interchange program. From Dover South to Milford, many of these improvements have already been completed or are currently under construction. The grade separated interchange at Route 1 Cave Neck Road has been planned by DLDOT for some time. DLDOT's current capital transportation program for fiscal years 2019 to 2024 includes construction of this grade separated interchange. The purpose of that, according to the capital program, is to improve safety and increase traffic capacity. But construction under the current DLDOT capital program is not expected until at least fiscal year 2024. As was discussed at the public hearing on subdivision 2018-10, which was the rear subdivision, DLDOT indicated that as an alternative to waiting for DLDOT's future construction of the interchange, the applicant could enter into a public-private partnership with DLDOT to participate in the cost of the interchange, and that would enable earlier construction. Now, the terms of that partnership would be as determined and agreed to by DLDOT. Going back to subdivision 2018-10, one of the conditions of approval required by the commission on that subdivision was condition E. And condition E stated that that development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements, including contributions to the cost of the Route 1 Cave Neck Road grade separated interchange. And we are proposing that same condition to be placed on this application. The applicant has been working with DLDOT over the past year to finalize a memorandum of understanding detailing the terms of the public-private partnership. Those terms include the applicant's financial contribution to a portion of the cost of the interchange, the applicant's land contribution for right-of-way expansion on Route 1, and interchange infrastructure location along Route 1, and that will involve contribution of approximately 6 acres of land and a temporary access to the subdivision to the subdivisions until completion of the interchange, at which time the temporary access would be removed. That memorandum has been agreed to in principle, and it's currently being reviewed by DLDOT's legal staff. It's anticipated that memorandum of agreement will be finalized and signed in the very near future, hopefully within the next few weeks. I do want to mention that we are aware that the County Council and DLDOT have recently discussed about the county becoming more involved in the review of traffic impact studies and possibly adopting changes to the zoning ordinance or a new memorandum of understanding with DLDOT regarding how traffic impact should be addressed. And of course, if and when those changes are made, they will become binding requirements on all applicants, just like all other requirements of the zoning and subdivision ordinance. However, we are here tonight to consider subdivision 2018-33, which use is permitted under the zoning ordinance. The traffic impact of this development has been reviewed by and discussed with DLDOT for over 5 years, first as a commercial development, then as residential use. And as I've already stated, DLDOT and the applicant have agreed in principle to a memorandum of understanding to address the responsibilities. The proposed conditions of approval for this subdivision, as I said, would be the same as imposed on subdivision 2018-10, requiring compliance with the DelDOT entrance and roadway improvements, including the contribution that I mentioned. Ultimately, the applicant's public-private partnership with DelDOT will result in a significant developer contribution of money and land. As I said, the need for this interchange has long been recognized as needed for both safety and increased traffic capacity, and it will enable the construction to begin in a near-term future rather than some future date after 2024. In reviewing the site, a wetland delineation was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc. Review determined that there were no state title wetlands or federal non-title wetlands existing on the 37-acre parcel. In addition, none of the site is located in the 100-year floodplain as designated on the FEMA flood insurance maps. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with current DENREC regulations and will be subject to review and approval by the Sussex Conservation District. The stormwater facilities will utilize stormwater management best management practices. Quality control and groundwater recharge will be provided by way of landscape bioretention areas and bioswales throughout the site and possibly wet ponds at appropriate locations. Flood control will be provided by capturing stormwater in the storage facilities and infiltrating it into the ground or releasing it slowly through the stormwater facilities. The entire site is currently used for farming with no stormwater management other than natural infiltration and runoff. This land has been cleared agricultural land for decades. There are no known historic or cultural resources located on the site, nor any threatened or endangered species associated with the property. The site is in the Cape Henlopen School District, and fire protection service is provided by the Lewis Fire Department, and the department station number 2 is located on Route 1, approximately a mile and a half south of the site. As to the subdivision design itself, the development will contain 82 single-family lots. The minimum lot size is 7,500 square feet. The average lot size is 8,800 square feet. The subdivision is planned to be built in either two or three phases. The recreational component will include a clubhouse with a minimum square footage of 1,500 square feet and an outdoor pool and deck. It is proposed that the recreational amenities would be built prior to the issuance of the 41st certificate of occupancy, which is approximately half of the development. The subdivision streets will be built at least to county street standards. Right now, there's a good chance that these streets are actually going to be built to DelDOT standards. The new road, which is designated as Cave Neck Road, and that's the road you see toward the bottom of the site plan, which is where the interchange is. The Cave Neck Road on that site plan will be built to DelDOT specifications. It will be a public road. It'll be maintained by DelDOT, and it will allow for interconnectivity with the parcels on either side of the road. That new Cave Neck roadway will be the main entrance to the development and will provide both north and south access to Route 1 by way of the interchange for both of the subdivisions. Both subdivisions will also have a right-in, right-out access with Route 1 by way of a second road, which is Chapel Road, which is the road located toward the top of the site plan. Now, both those roadways that you see on there basically were already shown on the 2018-10 subdivision. So that's not new. That is what already was approved as part of those subdivisions. The development interior streets will have curbs and gutters. sidewalk on both sides, and non-intrusive street lighting. As to the buffers, on the north or top of the site, the farm to the north of this property is in the Agricultural Preservation District. Delaware law provides that no improvement requiring an occupancy permit on our site can be constructed within 50 feet of the boundary of that district. To ensure compliance, there will be a 50-foot agricultural preservation buffer. So it's not just a setback from that from the building, it's actually a separate 50-foot buffer. And within that area will be a 20-foot landscape buffer, which is the required buffer. The entrance roadway, Chapel Road, is located between that buffer and all lot lines in this proposed subdivision. And that results in no lot lines actually being closer than approximately 200 feet to the boundary with the Agricultural Preservation District. As I said, those buffers, or the buffers I just referred to, have actually already been created as part of the approved preliminary plan for the 2018-10 subdivision. In addition, as required by Delaware law, deeds to all lots in the subdivision will include the notice disclosing that an agricultural preservation district is present in the vicinity. That law protects lands in an agricultural preservation district from complaints of nuisance related to normal agricultural uses and activities. The eastern side of the site contains an open space area of approximately 100 feet, and that actually borders open space from the adjacent 2018-10 subdivision. So there'll be open space bordering open space. On the southern side or the bottom, there will be a 30-foot landscape buffer, except along lot 62, which is the lot at the bottom furthest to the right, where there's an additional landscape buffer, because that is the continuation of a cross access easement that comes from the rear of the property past a pump station and a farm, and then will connect into the interior roads there. Deeds to all lots in the subdivision will also include the agricultural use notice that's required by the subdivision ordinance, and that language is almost identical to the language of the Agricultural Preservation District notice. The total open space in the 37-acre subdivision is approximately 11.36 acres, which is slightly over 30% of the site. The community will have a homeowners association comprised of all lot owners. The HOA will be responsible for collecting assessments, enforcing restrictions and covenants, and maintaining the development's entrances, rec areas, buffers, stormwater facilities, and other common areas, and the roadways if the roads are built to county specifications. I do want to submit proposed conditions and findings for your consideration. As I said, these are similar conditions as you approve for subdivision 2018-10 on the rear of the site, and the DelDOT condition is identical to what you approved for subdivision 2018-10. And Janelle, could you just go to the combined? So again, the in the big picture, the subdivision to the rear, which has already been approved, and the application tonight is for the subdivision to the front. And then, as I said, there's lands between Route 1 and this subdivision that will be areas to be improved with the grade separated interchange, widening of Route 1, stormwater management areas, and then there's a parcel that, again, is undeveloped at this time. With that, I'm going to submit the proposed conditions and findings of fact. And that would conclude my presentation, other than, of course, any questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Holly Stevenson.
So these are considered two separate neighborhoods?
Yeah, they're going to be, the one closer to Route 1 is going to be more affordably priced. The one to the rear is going to be more exclusively priced, I think, is the marketing scheme, and probably had different builders.
Well, I guess it's time to bring out the elephant in the room.
Oh, man, I forgot to mention that. As you can see on the south, on the bottom of the site plan, this is the easement road that comes back from the rear that connects into the street here. This will go right up to the property line and would be open for future connection if deemed appropriate. The land to the south is farmland at this time, so there wouldn't be any type of connection done at this time.
Correct. Okay.
And then again, both subdivisions actually have two access to the site, so it's not a single access development.
Yep. Good job on that. There's somebody here from DelDOT?
Yes, I believe.
Might as well come up now.
Jennifer Snelly Miller for DelDOT.
Mark Cote for DelDOT.
Our understanding when we approved the land in the back was that no more than 20 homes could be built before the overpass was completed. Is that still the case?
That's a simple question with a complex answer. So for our corridor capacity preservation program, we have different levels of access that are allowed. We try to, you know, push all the access to secondary roads. This parcel does not have access to a secondary road, so one of the things that you can do is create grade separated interchanges. You can phase development. You can limit trips to 200 trips for the parcel. DelDOT can buy the parcel through our corridor preservation program. We can buy down the rights. So those are kind of all on the table. So we originally said through PLUS and everything that the limit was 200 trips for this parcel. But as we're moving forward with the developer and how we'll actually phase the construction for our own project, as well as the developers, it seems reasonable that we can allow a temporary access for more than 20 units.
And how many units would you say?
We don't know yet. We're still working with the developer to figure that out.
And why was it that it was limited to, why would you have all this limited to 200 trips and all that beforehand? Was that a safety issue? Was that just a number out of the sky issue?
Well, that's the number that's in our corridor capacity preservation program for Route 1. So each corridor we have has different limits based upon where it is, what it's going to grow up to be, and what the characteristics of that corridor are. It also depends upon what level of state strategy planning you're in also.
Okay. So now they can build everything now?
No, we do not want them to be building everything right now, no. There'll still be a limit.
But that's up in the air as to what that limit could be.
Correct. I mean, right now there's only the 135 in the back, and then there's these proposed and then there's still some in the front. So, you know, we'll work through as they come through our office to figure out what their phasing is and what they're going to build.
Okay, I'm still confused though. If it was not safe or wasn't good before, why is it good now?
So basically, what's done in our agreement stage is the consideration that if we deny them access, then we are buying the property.
Let me back with up on that, just because I've seen that before. When nobody has said that you're denying access, what we're getting at is there was representation made by DelDOT that it was going to be 20.
Right.
And somehow that's changed.
Correct.
And that was on the record at a prior public hearing.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
With
The, it seems like you're both kind of dancing around.
No, with the increased development on Cave Neck Road, we have a lot of HOAs coming after us now. I even went and spoke to one recently with Councilman Burton. So what it behooves us to do is to save the taxpayers money from buying this property, which would then essentially push that project back 5 to 10 years. I don't think the taxpayers or anyone that lives in that area wants that. So again, we have to figure out ways to negotiate with developers who are then contributing to the project to then move the project along a little faster, and selling them that they can only build 20 units isn't going to let that happen. So again, if they make us buy the property, which we would have to do per the regulation, that's where we would be.
So are you saying that you're trying to work out a way to get us all that bypass quicker?
That's correct, sir.
And you're doing it because the developer is going to participate?
That's correct. That is why they're leaving the frontage of the property open, because at this stage, we are not even at a design concept stage yet. Like, we are still working that out. We're moving as quickly as we can to get that done, but there's still a possibility that based on the improvements in the area, we may need more of their property. So we do have to work that out with them. It's unfortunate. Everyone's in a lose-lose at this point.
But if you're saying you may need more of that property, where does that leave us with approving what they have in front of us?
Well, so they've left the front 400 feet open and kind of undetermined at this time, so that as we're going through our concept developments, we can figure out how much land will be needed, dependent upon which concept is ultimately chosen.
So that could be part of what you need.
Yes. Yes.
Can I step in for a moment? Just a second. So are you saying that DelDOT cannot require phasing, that if they require phasing, they have to buy the property outright? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we wouldn't necessarily buy it outright, but we would essentially rent the land for, you know, if they are ready to move forward and we're holding them up, then, you know, we would essentially try and rent that land to preserve the fact that we don't want houses where we may be building.
But that's missing the point, I think, is that was that there would be a temporary entrance, because I'm going back to what was on the record in 2018 or whenever it was. There was a temporary entrance, and you stated it on the record, and there was going to be no more than 20 houses built.
Yep.
And then at that point, there would still be the developer contributions, and then the project would still be expedited, but that way development would sort of go, it would coincide with the grade separated interchange out there. It sort of happened on parallel paths, you know, and what I'm hearing now is that, and what the commission I think is hearing is that, well, everything that was said doesn't really apply.
Well, that's not true. So what happened is the timing has actually gone further out because of the CTP funding. And so again, to rent the property or do any kind of financial exchange with the developer on our part would then limit the project. Again, the money would come directly from the project to preserve that space, so that we are in turn going after each individual property owner should they build houses on that property.
So how is this going to make it faster? And is it going to make it faster? Because I was told today that's not actually the case.
Okay. We're gonna let Mr. Fuquay make a comment. Let him take a crack at it, and then we'll go back.
Well, let's get the premise correct here, because you've already gone off on questions here that aren't based on the facts. When that original subdivision was approved, there's a letter from DelDOT in that file that says this is in the highway capacity corridor, and at the present time, it would be limited to 200 vehicle trips per day. Period. It then goes on to say that the applicant has three options. Mm-hmm. It says the applicant can wait till DelDOT builds it, the applicant can build it, or the applicant can enter into a public-private partnership with DelDOT, the terms of which have to be negotiated and agreed to, and that would involve certainly a sizable contribution from the applicant toward the construction. Which would be the improvement would be constructed by DelDOT, and that was a condition that was imposed. The condition was we have to meet what DelDOT requirements are. Pursuant to that, we've been pursuing the last year a public-private partnership, which, as I said, is agreed to in principle. It is going to involve a temporary entrance until the construction is completed, at which time the temporary entrance goes away, and it involves, again, a significant contribution from the developer. So some of the questions you asked, I don't think are consistent with the facts were. It was not limited to 10. It was limited to 10 if the developer didn't get involved and become part of this partnership, and that's what we've done. And that, you know, that's the agreement that's about to be signed.
Can you understand why we feel like we've been misled and kind of put part of a bait and switch here?
Well, if I think it's more maybe your misunderstanding than being misled, because if you were misled, I misled you, and I was the one that presented this, and what I presented was exactly what I just said. For the developer to be able to do 10 lots was hardly going to be worth it. It was always an understanding that we were going to have to cough up considerable monies, to the best of my knowledge, that's around $2 million in cash and about $1.5 million in property value. So about 3.5 toward the construction, you know, of this interchange, which again, this interchange is not caused by this development. This development is a very insignificant impact, you know, on that road. This is something that DelDOT has long recognized as being needed. I know I first became aware of this back when Painter's Mill was done, and that must have been back in 2000 or something around then. So this has been a long time planned thing. You're all familiar with the improvements that have been done on Route 1, and they certainly are improvements. They've made it much safer and better driving, but if you read that one paragraph of the letter, that is what it says, but you got to read the whole letter. And like I said, we did what was proposed by DelDOT, and that was to enter into a private-public partnership. So again, I think we have mutual feelings. If you feel like you were misled, I feel like I'm getting kind of misled at this point, because that's not what occurred. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And I also would mention one other thing. Every subdivision I've been involved in for the last two decades, you defer to DelDOT as far as traffic entrances and improvements of that nature are concerned. All right? Now, as I mentioned, and I mentioned that intentionally, because I know DelDOT met with the county a couple of weeks ago, and there is discussions about the county creating new regulations or a new MOU, and to become more involved in these decisions. And if the county chooses to do that, and we understand what those requirements are, then they're going to apply to these things. But don't go picking on my client tonight and start imposing something on them that isn't covered in your code or is not the way these things have been treated in the past.
I don't think anybody's trying to impose anything.
No.
I was just getting that feeling. I'm sorry.
So just for the record as well, for the Five Points Transportation Study, that was one of the intersections that was included. Aside from this development going on, we were aware of that being needed to be improved on. So we are studying it at the current time, and it is part of that Five Points Transportation Study recommendations.
I never understood why you have like one of the biggest main highways, certainly in Sussex, right in front of the development. I didn't understand why. It didn't make any sense to me why you would only restrict them to 200 trips anyway. I mean, look at how many trips are coming out on Cave Neck every day, 100 times that much, 1,000 times that much. That's my two cents.
Well, I think the concern is not necessarily in disagreement with that. It was more what was on the record back in 2018, and the commission understood that there was, based on what DelDOT had represented, that there was this 20-unit limitation, and now it seems like that's changed, you know, and the commission relied on that, I think, at the time to some extent, and so I guess what's going to change next? That's the concern with.
What's unfortunate is that there is no other access point for this development, right? Like the other developments that come online, 9 times out of 10 are going to have a side road that we are granting access to, and we're able to keep them off the protected corridor. That's not the case here, unfortunately, and the timing is what's really kind of hindering us.
I think it's a little bit of frustration on my part, at least, knowing that was already condition set on the last phase. And then what I'm hearing, at least from what you both just said, was we're in design stage and we're trying to figure it out, and you already knew that was there, and now we're looking at this.
So how much, with design phase and everything, how much further back have we been moved?
So we started the design at the beginning of this fiscal year back in July. We've completed all of the survey work. We're now working on the survey plans and developing conceptual alternatives. So it has to go through the NEPA process, National Environmental Policy Act. So that requires the development of a whole bunch of different alternatives, different alignments, different configurations, different ramps. We'll look at all of that and present it to the public towards the end of the year. And then we go through that process, and then we move into the more final design once that preferred alternative is selected.
So, but before this all gets built, so we're looking at, I don't know, at several years out, based on what you just said. They could build 130 units back there conceptually, and you could have 270 people trying to get out on the highway at least twice a day. Or so, since you say it's 10 trips a day per house, that's, you know, more than 1,000 trips a day of people trying to get out on a highway where they're going 80 miles an hour. They're probably going to be elderly because they're retiring here from New Jersey. And one of my charges is to look out for the health, safety, and welfare of the people of this county and the people coming to this county.
And I have the same charge as a professional engineer. So as the as we look at how many units are going to be proposed or what the limit will be, we will make sure that the entrance is sized appropriately. So there'll be deceleration lanes, there'll be acceleration lanes, depending upon how many units there are, similar to the entrance on the other side for Cave Neck, where there's an acceleration lane and there's a deceleration lane. So we're making sure that those same drivers have the opportunity to get off and get on the highway safely.
You mean in the initial interim?
Yeah,
correct.
Until the overpass is built.
Yes, correct.
For the temporary entrance, we'll make sure it meets all
and the temporary entrance, for the record, is being built by the developer. It's not costing the taxpayers any money.
So help me out here, my cohorts. I don't understand what the if the get on and get off is the same as it is on the other side where people are going into Cave Neck. And do you all know how many what's the traffic quantity?
We're studying that at this moment, at this very moment. We're just waiting on the numbers to come in.
So if they put that many units somewhere down on Cave Neck, and those people were trying to get out on Route 1, is there any difference with trying to get on Route 1 from Cave Neck or trying to get on Route 1 on the other side?
No, except that on the east side where the temporary access will be, there won't be conflicting movements with lefts in, lefts out. It'll be a rights in, rights out only.
So it's a little clean. You're saying that would actually be a little cleaner?
Yeah, there's much cleaner. No conflicting movements.
So I'm still just, even if we go back to the to whatever rule that they came up, somebody came up with for why until the overpass is built, they could only put 20 units in. I can't reconcile that in my mind. Where if that is it like a baseline? I never understood why they had to volunteer that in the first place, because we are approving stuff on the other side of Cave Neck all the time. So you have traffic getting on Route 1, and this traffic is going to get on and off. Maybe even a little safer or the same. So where, I don't understand the heartburn.
The limits come in depending upon what the state strategy's level is. So if it's level one or two, where the state is encouraging development and infrastructure, then which is typically in the municipality, then there aren't the same limits. If you're level four, where we don't want development and traffic and to make the investments, and there's only 100 trip level. So this is level three, which has the 200 limits. So we're trying to, not build great separated interchanges every half mile or long route.
So it kind of falls into some form of a default log jam but if you pull back and you look at it from the 1,000 foot level, I don't understand the heartburn unless we're not going to approve anything else on Cave Neck either. But anyway, that's my two cents.
Well, I will say this, Keller, and I'm not saying I'm opposed or for this development, but I am thinking that as a planning commission and planning for the future, we've got one piece of property in preservation, and I'm not sure if that's permanent or the 10-year deal. So a few years, that piece could come back on. I don't know. The other piece is not in preservation. So once this one's in place, there'll probably be another one coming up, and they're going to have to figure out how to get on the road too. So I'm just, you know, thinking where this is going in the future and trying to figure out ahead of time. You know, we don't want to make the same mistakes on this side of the Nassau Bridge that we made on the other side of the Nassau Bridge, where there's just one big snarl up, and this poor woman has been working for months and years with a group trying to figure out Five Points because we didn't think ahead when we did the other part as much. So that's what we're trying to figure out now, so that we don't in another 20 years go, well, what were we thinking?
No, I mean, I totally agree with the fact that there needs to be planned growth, but I mean, in order to get overpasses that cost $16 or $20 million, it does take a little bit of density to do that. And I think we need to be thinking, you know, we need to think about density and planning, and you know, it might take a few more units and taxes from the sale of those to be able to build the overpasses that we need. And I just think we have to be careful.
And that's what we're doing right now as far as the concepts go. We want to make sure we get this right. We don't want to come back and have to say, oh, we need to make it bigger. You know, I mean, we want to make sure we understand the area, what could go in there, and how it's going to look, and how we can move traffic around as safely as possible. And that's our ultimate goal.
Well, that makes me feel better with the timing, because it really, nobody's trying to hold any developer or any particular person or whatever hostage. That's certainly not our intention, but it's just that we thought we had progress moving. We thought with the last development that we've got something, a goal here, and right. Then now we're here, and like, well, now we're back in redesign. It's like, oh my gosh. So I'd like to have a better comfort level of knowing that it is moving forward, and it is going to be
Agreement we're going to be entering into with the developer, with every so many units, they will be contributing to the project, which will help. I mean, that will help us. That will help it get built faster, hopefully, and the taxpayers would be happier.
As long as the money stays down.
Poof, it'll be there. No. So, yeah, I totally understand. It's very frustrating for everybody.
And so, again, we're going to make sure that the temporary entrances, you know, meet our standards, that they're safe. Again, they're temporary. Our main overpass is scheduled for FY24, which is July of 23. They're obviously not going to be building homes for, you know, at least till 2020, 2021 before people are living in there. So there will be a period of time. There'll be some number of units. So we just don't know, but we'll make sure the entrance is safe.
No chance we can talk you into moving the funding from 16 to this one to move it up on the list.
Again, we're moving as fast as we can. We are in design. We've already done the survey. Things like getting a lot of right-of-way dedicated to us make the right-of-way acquisition part much easier. So those kinds of things do help in the delivery of the project.
Since I have you here. No, on the other side of the highway, what do you need? Is that taken care of? Is that property done?
Good to go? We've seen concept plans for that parcel also, and we're working with the developer and their engineer to make sure that we have a similar type of
there's a big a setup for sale sign on that side. Piece of property.
I don't believe that's made it this far yet. And we've seen preliminary design in through State Plus review. That obviously a lot of things go through State Plus review that then never come to fruition, but we are planning ahead for that as well.
Because I'd hate for suddenly find out, well, guess what?
Yeah, we're aware of that project.
And again, we're trying to see the big picture, right? We don't want to be hyper-focused on one development versus another. We want to make sure that we're looking at the area as a whole and making sure that our traveling public is safe and our tourists are safe. Everyone, you know, deserves to be safe on our roads, so.
Thank you very much. That's less of the questions I had. Anybody else? I think we all jumped in.
I'm trying to get done earlier than later, so I think I'll just go ahead and stop.
Thank you.
Mr.
Mayor?
No, thank you.
Okay. Staff on this end?
None for me, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
I have one, just a clarification, Mr. Fuqua. On the, just with buffers, there's been confusion on conditions that have been opposed. There's the one, so you said down by, I think
61.
It was 61 and 62.
Yeah.
And there's, I remember there's the access easement that runs back to the back. Does it, right there, does it go, because it's a scale, it's hard to tell. Does it go 20 feet, then access road, then open space?
I think there's a 40-foot access road and a 20-foot.
The 20-foot's along the
perimeter? 60-foot, actually. It's okay. 50 or 60 feet.
It says 40.
And that would include coming up here by lot 60. I think that's 62.
Yeah.
All right. And then up here would be, the, I believe it's a 30-foot buffer that's required along here.
Yeah, but it's 20 at lot 61, according to your plan.
Yeah, that's not correct. It should be 30.
Okay.
It'll get amended.
There's a 20-foot landscape buffer required in subdivisions, but under the cluster ordinance, there's a 30-foot required for farmland. So that would have to be changed on a revised plan.
And I'm just, so where the access road is, just because I don't want to, you know, raise a question later on about what's
what. It says 40 feet cross access.
So the access road is 40, and then there's...
And then 20.
And then 20. Okay, that was my question. Yeah, all right.
And if I could just finish up on the question that was asked. This whole thing started with the commercial rezoning, and that was all based on the fact that this land isn't a growth area. Okay, this is the end of the growth area along Route 1. And as I said, that was denied, and they accepted that. And this proposed use is the residential use, the permitted use. The just to give you some idea of the magnitude of the contribution, I was involved in Americana Bayside. You're all familiar with that. Freeman down there, I believe, spent about $1 million on road improvements, which were all those interchange improvements along Route 1. This is over three times the contribution for those improvements. So, I mean, this is a very significant contribution to a needed improvement. So, no questions? I'm done.
No, just one comment that I would make, and I was here for all of that.
Yes, you were.
And the thing that I think may have been not perceived was the connection between the 20 unit limitation and the three alternatives that were offered later in the body of that letter. And it perhaps could be that the connection between those things just wasn't made in the minds of some of the readers, I guess. I want to go back and read it myself because I don't think that folks anticipated that participation in one of those three alternatives might change that, you know, that 20 unit limitation. I think there was some perception that the 20 unit limitation was fixed and that was over, and then the three alternatives were just three alternatives that were standing alone. I don't think folks perceive the connection between those things. That's what I think happened.
That's accurate. Yeah.
That's what I believe happened. I really don't think that there was any deliberate intent on either side for anyone to mislead anyone else. I don't think that happened at all. But what I think this says to us as a commission is we have to read carefully whatever we're presented, and we have to ask ourselves, what if this happens, what if that happens, what's the effect of that going to be? And I think that's probably the lesson here, because the record is the record, and the letter says what the letter says, and that's what the letter says. So let's move on.
The only thing I would add is that, you know, we sit here talking about land use, but you know, in the real world, when these things are being done and financing is being done and things of that nature, it can't just be done in a static, here, give us the $3 million or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to go on with these things.
Not unless we want the New Jersey tax rates to come
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
And so again, and I agree with you, we read the letter and I understood the letter to say, right now, you only can get 200 vehicle trip per day, right? And here's alternatives. Del Doc can build it, you guys can build it, or you can come meet with us and let's work out something to get this done. And that's what we've been doing for the past year or so.
And I'm not sure that all of us understood that at the time.
No, I would ask the next time you come here, you say it to us like that.
Well, and I think we also tried to get clarification from DelDOT on it, because the DelDOT representatives were here at that time, and right. I think that reinforced the misunderstanding
on our side. I think part of the problem is this, and it's a chicken and egg problem.
at that point in time, we were asking for approval. You're not going to go to DelDOT and sit down and hash out all the details of an agreement until you have something, you know, for it to apply to. So, as you know, in a lot of these things, you get, you know, you come in and you get the approval, or at least preliminary approval, and then you go to the agencies and work out the details of all those things, because you're not going to front money on things that may be totally moot. So, I mean, that's what happened here. We had talked in principle with DelDOT. As you may recall, on the commercial thing, there was a much larger contribution that was going to be made to DelDOT based on the magnitude of that project. So that'll have to be revisited and, you know, the financing figured out on that. But anyway, I understand. You understand?
Well, there's an old saying that no matter what they're talking about money. And that's why we need to keep the pressure on our state legislature to support this project here and make sure it gets funded just as soon as it can be. Regardless of this, whether this gets approved or not, that grade separation is needed now.
Yes. I have already stated.
It's got nothing to do with this.
That overpass needs to be built yesterday, and it needs to be built before the 16, which is going to just create another bullet of traffic coming down here to hit hard.
Well, there's that.
There you go. Okay. There's that.
Anyone have any more questions? All right, Mr. Fuqua, we thank you for your presentation, and we'll see if there's anyone here who has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-33, Overbrook Meadows West? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-33? Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm not sure that this is actually an opposition, but
I know who you are, but you need to tell the tape.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give these to Janelle. I think there's enough there. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I'm Jeff Stone from Milton. I live in the Oyster Rock subdivision near this proposed development. I was active in the Overbrook Town Center Coalition. I am active with the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. I want to state that I recognize that the developer has the right to put 236 homes in the two subdivisions on this property, but it should only happen in a manner that does not jeopardize the safety of the users of Route 1 and Cave Neck Road and the surrounding communities. That is thousands of people daily, tens of thousands weekly. Let me provide a resident's perspective. Over the past several years, as proposals for the development of this property have evolved, one, if not the singular concern raised by residents, has been traffic, its impact on safety, and the quality of life. And so the concern I express here tonight are not focused on the developers, but on the process. The county government's apparent lack of involvement in the decisions that impact the county and its residents and visitors alike, and its constantly changing numbers that make it impossible to understand exactly what is being approved. When Overbrook Meadows, the original Overbrook Meadows, was presented to the PLUS committee, DelDOT stated it would be subject to the Corridor Capacity Preservation Program. This was repeated in May of 2018 for Overbrook Meadows West. According to DelDOT's formal response for both in the PLUS comments, and I quote, per program policy, the department would only permit access to the site on Delaware Route Run for proposed land uses that generate 200 vehicle trips per day, according to the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual. However, larger parcels can be developed if the necessary roadway improvements are constructed. In this case, construction of a grade-separated interchange at Cave Neck Road and Delaware Route 1 would be required for development beyond the first 200 vehicle trips per day. Site access would be granted to Delaware Route 1 via the grade-separated intersection, ramps and service roads associated therewith, unquote. The Planning and Zoning Commission minutes of September 13, 2018 meeting considering the Overbrook Meadows subdivision reflect that, quote, Mr. Fuqua stated that the site is subject to DelDOT Corridor Capacity Preservation Program. This program limits the access to 200 trips per day and less with road improvements. At the roadway improvement is the construction of a grade separated intersection proposal to provide access and planned by DelDOT, unquote. Despite the fact that the developer publicly acknowledged this restriction, no traffic conditions are included in the Commission's conditions for approval of the subdivision. Some may question why. But now everyone, the community, plus reviewers, the developer, the Planning and Zoning Commission, as reflected in your minutes, are now on the same page as Delta. Route 1 at the intersection of Cave Neck Road is at capacity and cannot absorb the approximately 2,400 vehicle trips per day these developments would generate. And the only solution is an overpass. Until then, only 20 units generating 200 trips per day could be built. This applies to both Overbrook Meadows and Overbrook Meadows West. When constructing the overpass increases capacity, then full development generating the 2,400 trips can be done. This is the information that was provided to the public. That's what's in the record, and you really have to know where to look for it. Then the negotiating begins. Negotiations between DelDOT and the developer, not the county, no citizen representation. Negotiations that will impact the county and its residents, but we're not at the table. Because of a long-standing FOIA, DelDOT has been forthcoming in having to provide us information. The developer agrees they will contribute dollars to the overpass. Again, certainly welcome and not out of the ordinary. Now DelDOT says that 175 units, roughly 75% of the 236 total for both subdivisions, may be constructed prior to or during the construction of the overpass, utilizing the temporary right-in, right-out on Route 1. This is more units than are permitted in the Overbrook Meadows development that has already received preliminary site plan approval. 41 more to be exact. So DelDOT is now saying that giving the developers permission to have more units access Route 1 through a temporary entrance than the county has approved. We are at the public hearing for Overbrook Meadows West. Suddenly Route 1 now has the capacity to absorb 1,500 trips, more trips per day, almost nine times more than the original 200. Since these trips must all go north, many are going to result in U-turns across Route 1's median when departing and returning, creating more dangerous traffic movements. What standard was applied to make this calculation? Where is embodied in statute or regulation? When and how did Sussex County say this is okay? And speaking of medians, is the Commission aware of plans to make significant modifications to the Route 1 median crossovers in the Nassau Route 16 corridor? In your meeting packet tonight, is a letter from Overbrook Meadows West project engineer, Mr. Gorski, to Ms. Cornwell, stating in item 15, quote, in partnership with DelDOT, a grade-separated interchange will be constructed at Cave Neck Road, Route 1 intersection, prior to construction of houses on the lots in Overbrook Meadows West project. So let's do the math. 236 less 82 equals 154. That's not 20. Not 136, not 175. What number can the public believe? What number will the Commission utilize in considering this application, if any? Allowing phasing of a development while improvements are made and implemented, thereby increasing capacity incrementally, is understandable. But in this case, no increase in capacity happens until the ribbon is cut and the overpass is actually open. In fact, arguably, the multi-year construction of the overpass will likely result in reduced capacity. To permit such a large trip increase prior to any capacity increase seems to be creating a dangerous public safety situation. Perhaps there is excess capacity currently at this location, but no explanation is given as to how it went from 200 allowable trips to 1,500. How is it calculated? What actually is the capacity? How much is required to accommodate future traffic growth from other already approved new developments up and downstream, visitors, and through traffic? How much could be allocated to this development? Speaking of new growth, attached to to this copy is a plus operations dashboard showing other projects in the area. Does this agreement account for the proposed Chapel Farms directly across Route 1, 154 residential units, 45,000 feet of commercial space, including a convenience store? How about Sweetbriar, 294 residential project, or the Nassau 168 unit residential project, or the new 100,000 square foot consortium school, all within 3 to 5 miles of the Overbrook project, all generating thousands, not hundreds, thousands of daily vehicle trips, most of which will end up on Route 1. Can the Commission tell us, were you consulted and advised of these decisions, or is DelDOT making concessions to developers without your input? It's well past time for the county to exercise its legal right to determine what type of development it will allow, when it will allow it, and under what conditions. we know of and hope you do also, long-standing agreements between Delta and the county that provide for coordination regarding rezoning and site plans. Yet it doesn't seem to be happening. DelDOT's interests and the county's do not always align. The results of the years of county abdicating its responsibility to assure that development does not clog the roads and create potential safety hazards for the people using roads in the county is very apparent in the conditions we suffer through daily, especially here in eastern Sussex County. The Planning Zoning Commission and the County Council not only have the legal right to set the terms and conditions under which development will take place, they have the responsibility to exercise that authority for the betterment of the community. Even DelDOT Director of Planning Drew Boyce acknowledged this fact on the record at the recent County Council meeting. To paraphrase Mr. Boyce, the final say on land use is solely the county's. Again paraphrasing, according to the Delaware Supreme Court, DelDOT's role is to advise, not to decide. Deciding is the role and the responsibility of the county. The other two counties in the state long ago accepted this responsibility. It's Sussex County's time to get with the program. Now, here, today, would be a good time to start. I'm hopeful that the commission will carefully review the impacts of this proposed subdivision on the safety and quality of life of the citizens and visitors of Sussex County. Should you choose to approve this application, I would hope that the approval would come with clearly stated terms and conditions and timelines that will preserve the safety and quality of life of the residents, terms and conditions set by the commission, not by the developer, not by Delta. It's up to you. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? All right, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to